Good evening. Welcome to Reflections in the Dark. On Firefall Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studios, and we are on Spreaker.com, of course. You can get the archive shows here and also on Blog Talk, which feeds into our iTunes account. It didn't pay to move everything after being there for almost 6 years, and so we're in two places. We're expanding our reach. And we thank you. Thank you for following us, but thank you for supporting us. Joe's going to be looping in a little late. Hopefully we can do this. We've never done it via Skype after the fact. So who knows? Anything could happen here on Reflections in the Dark, and usually does. But I just wanted to catch up with you real quick. If you remember, I had mentioned the week before, my wife was going in for shoulder replacement surgery. That went well. That's why I wasn't here last week. I really wasn't able to take the moment out to not be there to help her out, but she's getting better. Heading to the doctor's tomorrow to get the stitches out and get into rehab and get her back to being healthy and full use of that arm, which will then allow me to start doing seminars and things like that. I had mentioned this a while ago and got no response, so I'm thinking there's no interest. Since I've been landlocked to Orlando, I'd mentioned I'd been willing to consider doing something in the Florida area, giving you an excuse to bring your family down for a vacation. And if that's still a possibility or you would be interested, let me know. It's something now we would have to shoot for the end of summer, but we'll see. The other thing I'd like to put out there to our various listeners, both here, archived, Blog Talk, iTunes, we're looking for a way to raise some money for SRT to go help some people and do what we do and also begin to do teaching. You know, some of the things we talk about, it would be really great to be at the place we're talking about, to get actual live reaction to what's being said, to do things from a different perspective. I know that there are other people out there doing it, but the one thing they're not doing it is they're not doing it from our experiential knowledge and from the way we do things. We've talked about this before. We've made a couple of attempts with some entertainment industry people, which doesn't always work out well, considering the angle we're coming from. So I'm back to looking at branching out and becoming more productive in that regard. Once things settle down here, I will be able to get back on track as far as the webinars and to doing the PowerPoints and things like that. Been very difficult of late. Life gets in the way. So write me. Go to FirefallTalkRadio.com or SupernaturalResponse.net. Use the contact button and let me know. Do you have fundraising abilities? Do you know of anybody that understands the brain just went blank. Kickstarter, that kind of thing. Indiegogo, how to do that. I know it usually takes a larger following than what we have to do it. But maybe there's somebody out there that wants to jump in the game. Maybe there's somebody out there that says, hey, I would like to help you. I'd like to partner with you. Maybe there's somebody that has some product support. Say, if you guys use my product, use my motorhomes, use my cameras, I will invest. There's just so many different ways to do this. And this isn't about us. This isn't about anything more than getting the information out while we can. If you watch the news as we do, and hopefully we can get into that tonight when Joe gets on, there's a lot of new things happening spiritually, a lot of new things happening supernaturally, and there's really not a lot of really good information. There are a lot of people that peddle their wares, who give you a revelation, write a book on it, do DVDs, do conferences, and then suddenly all they put out an email going, wow, maybe we were wrong, and this isn't the final pope, and Buy our new books and pay for our new DVDs and come to the conferences to hear us explain why the other information that you bought from us is not accurate. Yeah, you know what? I'm getting a little fed up with that. It's time to stop, folks. It's time to do this for the right reasons, and it's time to give people information that they can actually use. I was discussing this with one of our listeners and supporters, and I've discussed this with other people. You know, when the spiritual stuff hits the fan, and it's going to, and it already is. What are you going to do? Are you going to throw the DVDs? Well, they do spin. If you get them going really good, maybe you can turn them into weapons. The books, what are you actually going to do when these things appear that everybody's saying is appearing? When the chaos begins, when everything happens, what are you going to do? And that's what we do with SRT. Not only do we deal with it, we want to help you deal with it. So let me know. Write us. Give us some input. If you have any ideas, feel free. If you have any suggestions or comments, feel free to write us. Well, right now, it is, for many of you, Easter Sunday. And why I say for many of you is that I don't see this as Easter Sunday. I know that the Christian calendar says this is Easter Sunday. But let's back into this logically. If Jesus of Nazareth is the Lamb of God, if he was slain for our sins, he was slain when? During Passover. He is the Passover Lamb, the final Passover Lamb. It's not Passover. Passover's a little less than a month away. The two don't line up this year. So how can we have a Resurrection Sunday that does not line up with Passover? In my opinion, we can't. Now, you're free to do whatever you want, to believe whatever you want. I have no feeling about this weekend at all. I feel nothing spiritually. I have not participated, have not said anything, have not sent out anything. I've been polite when people have sent me stuff, but this doesn't ring for me, folks. And saying, well, he honors whatever we believe. It's time to stop wearing out the grace ticket. And let's start getting into the fact that the days of ignorance are over. And we need to understand what's going on here. Passover, if you'd like to know, is actually April 22nd through the 30th. And there's a reason why the two don't line up this year. That's because the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. Our calendar is a solar calendar with a little bit of manipulation in both. But let me just explain to you what's going on here. The lunar calendar is not exactly 12 months every year. And there is a variation in length, sometimes between some are 28, some are 31. And the solar year of 365 days, unless a leap year, which is 366, well, the Jewish months are 29 to 30 days long, reflecting that a lunar month is 29 and a half days in length. So a lunar year is 354 days, which is about 11 days shorter than the solar year, which is one revolution around the sun. Well, that's not bad when it's 1 year, but over a period of time, those years add up, and the next thing you know, Passover is in the fall. And according to the Bible, according to Exodus chapter 13, Passover is supposed to be celebrated in the springtime. It's supposed to be on the 15th of Nisan. So the Jewish holidays are always on the same Jewish date. They're just not always on the same calendar date. So what the Jewish calendar did was to give a leap year, which occurs seven times in a 19-year cycle. And in that leap year, it's 13 months instead of the regular 12 months. Well, this is a Jewish leap year. which is why the two are so far apart. So what happens is, when this added month comes along, it's called Adar, A-D-A-R-1, and it's inserted before the actual month of Adar, which becomes Adar 2 in leap years. I know I'm confused, but I'm just trying to get you to where you understand what's really going on this month. Now, I found something interesting, and I'm not a big fan of the Kabbalah, nor do I support it, but according to a Kabbalah website, which explains the leap year, they mention that the word Adar is broken up into the first letter Aleph, which symbolizes the Shekinah, the presence of God, which led them out of Israel, which guided them. And the word Dar, D-A-R, which is the Hebrew word for dwelling. So basically, Adar is the month where the presence of God lives. Now, I'm not saying there's anything special going on this particular year, even though I think 2016 is an important year. I think the fact that the celebration of the Christian Easter, which, by the way, is really not a Christian word, but the celebration of that event and the actual Passover event is almost a month apart. I think there's tremendous spiritual significance to the fact that the practices of the Christian church and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are that far apart. They don't line up. But how did we get the calendar we have now? Calendar we have now is called the Gregorian calendar because it's named after Pope Gregory VIII, who introduced it in October of 1582. And it was a refinement of the Julian calendar to correct the length of the year by 0.002%. Basically, the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, the Pope, wanted to guarantee that Easter was tied to the spring equinox. I find that very interesting. Are there any other things tied to the spring equinox? Do we know of any other events that might possibly be tied to the spring equinox? Any other religions or spiritual practices that may want to make their events tie into the spring equinox? And you can figure that one out for yourself. But the Roman Catholic Church wanted to make sure that Easter always happened around the spring equinox and didn't get too far away from it. So initially, the Catholic countries in Europe immediately accepted the change. The Protestant and Eastern Orthodox countries continued to use the traditional Julian calendar, but eventually, through pressure, through societal, influence, eventually accepted it. And finally, in 1923, Greece was the last European country to adopt the Gregorian calendar. And that's the calendar we use today. If I have a choice, which unfortunately I don't, we do everything according to what the world says. If I had a choice and somebody said to me, Richard, what calendar would you like to follow? My answer would be, I'd like to follow the calendar according to the Creator, according to what He said in His written word, which would mean I would prefer to follow the Jewish calendar if I had a choice. Someday we'll have a choice. We don't have it yet. But that was a very in-depth way for me to explain to you why the two are far apart. But let me just say this about Easter. I'm doing that quotation, Easter, which is a representation of Ishtar and really has no place in any practices of anybody who claims to believe in Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, as Messiah. Here's the bottom line. Many of you today, or many of your friends, maybe not you, I don't think our listeners are this fooled anymore. Or at least I would hope you wouldn't be. Many people sent out, oh, he is risen, and all the things, and the whole thing about resurrection. Well, let me break it down for you. That tomb's been empty for a while. He's been risen for a while. That tomb's been empty for almost 2,000 years. Today's no different than yesterday or tomorrow. It'll still be empty, and he'll still be a risen God, and he'll still be alive. So make a note of it, live accordingly, and carry on as if you believed and understood that the tomb is empty. It's been empty. It's always going to be empty. So what is the big deal? We should celebrate every day as if it's the day of the risen Lord. And I didn't always believe like this. I know there was a time I was like many out there. I was caught up in the hoo-ha, caught up in the, hey, we got to get dressed up. And, well, in our case, me and my wife and my family, we would do the productions, and we would be there, and we would put on the Easter productions, and we would do all that stuff. And we would think, this is really special. And this is a special weekend. Now, I look back in those moments and thank the Lord that he honored my ignorance. Because the fact is, every day is special when he is your Lord and Savior. Every day is special when you live in a fallen world ruled by Hasatan, Satan, and the fallen angels and their demonic offspring, and you are celebrating the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you are a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and you are living in a way that means you are a part of making a change and preparing for the return of the King. I hope I made my point. If I didn't, I don't know how much more I can. And after almost 6 years of doing this, it's actually 6 years this month, but it'll be officially 6 years in May that we were on, started on Block Talk. I don't know how much more I can say. I don't know how much more I want to say. Because if we don't get it by now, we're not going to. And we are in the middle of a world that is coming apart at the seams. We're in the middle of a world that end time events are taking place in the news every moment. All you have to do is turn it on and see. And if you have eyes to see, and if you've been paying attention, and if you've been doing your own homework, and if you've been reading and praying and seeing with clear eyes and ears, you'll know that almost every day something happens that points to a prophetic event or a biblical event. The terrorism we're seeing in the world, Brussels, was attacked this week. Two explosions went off in the departure hall of the Brussels airport just before 8 a.m. on Tuesday. 10 people were killed right then and there. An hour later, an explosion at the Maalbeek subway in central Brussels, not far from the European Union's headquarters, killing another 20 people. Two of the suicide bombers died. One suicide bomber, for some reason, who has since been caught this weekend, left, abandoned his 35-pound bomb, and it failed to go off. And if you look at the picture of the three men that they say are the bombers, the two on the left died. The one guy on the right bailed. One of the bombers who did die designed the suicide bombs used in Paris the beginning of the year. 230 people wounded. And let's call it what it is. This is Islamic terrorism. ISIS took credit for it. So Brussels, the seat of the European Union and the capital of Belgium, has become the focus of both counterterrorism investigations and ISIS, because everything is centered there and because they are the headquarters for the Paris investigations, ISIS has targeted them. Well, the other thing that just happened, and this should concern you, again, when you read the news or you go to the SRT Facebook page, because that's where I'm posting everything right now. I've been trying to get a WordPress blog site up to do this every day. I just really haven't had the time to get it right. But if you, on Facebook, you go there, you'll see me post news things about what's going on. Make a note and see how things apply. One of the things we have talked about is a nuclear event. And what has happened in Brussels is that a security officer for a nuclear plant was found dead. He was murdered while walking his dog, and his security pass was stolen. And this coming at a time when it's been reported that ISIS has been plotting to create a radioactive dirty bomb that would scatter nuclear material in a crowded public place. The security officer, as I said, was shot dead while walking his dog. And they say that they canceled his pass. I would imagine that those that did it would know that. So there was a reason that they did this. It might have had something to do with understanding the workings of the pass or what the passes look like. I don't know. But what I do know is that this has shaken the intelligence community. So that 11 nuclear workers have had their security passes revoked amid fears that the Brussels attackers and members of ISIS are trying to fulfill on that promise of a dirty bomb. Now, here's the bigger kicker. Intelligence from within ISIS, people that are, I guess, implanted or reporting, have said that what took place in Paris and what took place in Brussels were just dry runs, were practice runs for a much bigger event. I don't know about you. First of all, I live in a major tourist city of Orlando. If you live in New York City, you live in Washington, D.C., you live in Los Angeles, you live in Dallas, you live in any major metropolitan area, this should concern you. Because eventually they will get their way here. They're doing it in places that are easy to do it, places that have allowed them in, places that have not secured their borders. Oh, and by the way, the response of our American president of the United States, his response on the date of the bombings in Brussels was to go to a baseball game in Cuba and to sit next to a dictator and do the wave. And then later, to go to Argentina and to do the tango with a tango dancer. And I think that is a very strong message being sent to the terrorist that America will do nothing. I hate to get political here. I mean, I dance around it, but I got to say it. Right now, we are a joke. The red, white, and blue would never have been this way before. I remember when Gaddafi took down an American Airlines, I think it was one of the Pan Am flights, they traced it back to him. President Reagan had the Air Force fly halfway around the world because certain countries wouldn't let us through to bomb Gaddafi and his family and Libya. And we did not hear from Gaddafi again. And I hate to promote violence, I really do, because violence begets violence. We are at a point where there is no other response but to respond. Because this is where this is going. Oh, by the way, maybe I forgot to tell you. This past Friday, Good Friday for many people, the Al-Shabaab terrorists affiliated with ISIS targeted Christians in Kenya, killing 147 people in a town called Garissa, where the terrorists separated the Christians from the Muslims by making them recite verses from the Quran. Those who could not quote the Quran were gunned down. Women and children and men. Students of a local school. Heaps of body, face down, lying in pools of blood. Then, today on Easter Sunday, in Pakistan, 67 people were killed and more than 300 wounded, injured, mostly women and children, in a suicide bombing at a park known for Christians celebrating Easter. Al-Habab, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Al-Shabaab or Shish Kebab, whatever that is, took credit for it. Said, yes, we did it, and yes, we targeted the Christian community. We're really sorry. We didn't mean to kill women and children, but oops. Yeah, I'm adding the oops. His actual words were, the spokesman for the Taliban splinter group said, we proudly take responsibility for the suicide attack in a park in Lahore. Members of the Christian community who were celebrating Easter today were our prime target, but we didn't want to kill women and children. Our target were the male members of the Christian community. Yeah, right. They knew exactly what they were doing, and I'm sorry, you don't kill men, women, and children and say, oh, we really didn't want to kill the women and children. That was an accident. It doesn't work that way. So we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a world that the Antichrist could appear at any moment, possibly being groomed right now. Possibly he's in politics. I don't know where he is. And I really don't think much about it. So I don't really care. And let me tell you why. Because he's going to lose. The only thing the revelation of the Antichrist will tell me is that we're that much closer to the Lord's return. What do you do each day to be aware and awake? Remember, we've covered that the last couple of years to prepare you for this. When you go out, when you go to the stores, maybe you live in an area that's so completely safe and there is no crime and there's nothing to worry about. I don't know what that's like. I grew up in New York City. I grew up during a time that there was a lot of crime and a lot of violence. I did personal security for 10 years for movie executives and celebrities. Yeah, I live in Orlando, which really isn't crime central, but it has crime. So I'm always aware. I'm always awake. I'm always alert. I'm always ready, spiritually and naturally. But as we look at what's going on in the world with the terrorism, as we look at what's going on, just look at the violence in the political system. Right now, we are so agitated. And I'm not going to blame it on anybody running right now. I will blame it on 7 years of division, 7 years of racial agitation, 7 years that has gotten America to a point that they're angry. And what we are seeing now is an anger that has been bottled up, that has now been given a voice. We are, as I've said, watching the imploding of the American political system. Some have prophesied that whoever the next president is, it will be the last American president. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can see the feasibility of it. But how do you prepare yourself? How do you prepare your family? How do you... what's the word I'm looking for? When you go out, when you go to the store, when you go to the restaurant, when you go to the movies, do you go through a checklist of where the exits are? If something were to happen, what would I do? If you don't, you should. You should be thinking about those things when you go to your car in the parking lot with all your groceries, especially if you're a woman by yourself. When I go shopping, I always go with my wife. I'm always there. I always watch over. And even when I'm in the parking lot, I watch for other people, meaning if there's a woman walking to her car by herself, I watch. And if there's an elderly person, you know, walking by themselves, I keep an eye on things. Because if I'm there, I'm going to do something. I'm going to respond. I'm going to help. That's not normally going to be the case. So we're living in a world where terrorism is rampant. Violence is not only rampant, but demonic at a level that I've never seen before. And I know every time I say that, it sounds repetitive, but between the last time I said it and saying it now, I've read stories that shock me. I'm watching prophecy fulfilled. I'm watching political things happening that are sending us into a tizzy to where I fully expect both the Democratic and Republican conventions to literally be explosive. I don't think we're going to get out of this unscathed. I don't think we're going to head to the presidential elections in November, assuming we have them, without some kind of an event taking place. Maybe that's what ISIS is preparing for. I don't know. But what I do know is, getting back to where all this started, we better know the facts. And we better know who sits on the throne. And we better have a personal relationship with him. And we better understand who the enemy is and what we can do in response to the enemy. The least that you can do is pray. If you don't know how to pray, then you haven't been listening. There are 5+ years worth of teachings from the porch that deal with everything from spiritual warfare to personal relationship to the spiritual gifts. I've covered every topic that I believe could be covered, and it's all there. Free to be downloaded, free to be listened to, free to share. You know, talking about the Antichrist, I like to keep a watch on what's going on in the movies and the media and things like that. I did go see the movie Risen. I promised you I'd talk about that. I did finally see that a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not sure if I've talked about it on here. I think I mentioned it on the porch. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But go see it with the understanding that there will be some dramatic license taken with certain parts of the biblical story to make it work. And it doesn't change the facts, but they do in the most professional way I've seen done, in the most biblically correct way that I've seen done. Tell the story about the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Let me see if I can get Joe in here. He just let me know he's ready. He's really late tonight, folks. So we're going to chastise Joe for being late. I don't know. What do you think we should... trying to call. I don't know if it's happening or not. Let's try again. Oh, we hear it now. Didn't get it the first time.
Hello?
Wow, you're really late, dude. You there?
I'm here now.
You there? I put out the word. You're really late, so somebody's going to have to come up with your punishment. We're gonna have to make you write, "I will not be late," 100 times.
Oh man, you know what? you know what? Wait, listen. Here's the best thing. When you just said that, you just jarred a very scary memory in my mind. Now, when I was younger, I believe 7th grade, I got in trouble with my math teacher. And he said that he wanted me to write, I think it was 200 times, "I will not be late for class." But here's how it goes. You ready for this? Remember the graph paper where it had the small little tiny boxes.
Right.
I had to write that in like three or four boxes. And I had to fill the whole front page. So I have to say I will not be late for class and make sure it snugs in those four boxes. So I would just keep doing it hundreds of times.
Ah, yes, yes. Memories. Memories of our childhood.
Ah. So it's good to be here.
Well, actually, you came in at a good point because I'm getting ready to talk about Risen and the TV show Damien and some things going on in the media. I've been talking about the whole terrorism thing. I touched on Easter and Passover not lining up and why that is. But I was just getting to talk about, I went to see Risen. I finally saw it. I don't know if you've gone yet.
No, I did not see Risen yet, first of all. So please enlighten me, enlighten our audience about that.
Well, I enjoyed it. It was very emotional. And this is what I said. They did take some creative license with the biblical story to make what they were doing work. So and I could be picky about it, but I won't be, because they pulled no punches on the fact that about the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. They pulled no punches about his divinity. They showed the miracles. It was powerful, and it was moving, and it was probably the best production value of a overtly Christian movie I've seen, you know, leaving out the Passion of the Christ, which is another story, Mel Gibson's Ode to Catholicism, which is by his own admission, that's what it was. This was very moving. It was well worth seeing. And if you haven't seen it, go see it. And if you missed it in the theaters, definitely get it on DVD, Blu-ray, Redbox, or whatever. The other thing I've been catching up on is the TV show Damien. Now, I talked about weeks ago about Lucifer being, you know, sympathy for the devil. Damien is sympathy for the son of the devil. And what's amazing to me is that in the midst of all the stuff going on in the world, we have two shows going on right now that glorifies the devil and the Antichrist.
Wow. Now, you said something that was interesting right there, because you've got the show Lucifer that really talks about, obviously, the devil. And then you have Damien, which is the son of the devil. But how it just singles out or just zones in on Damien, the son of the devil. And then you have the show Lucifer that's just on the devil. So it's almost like one show is saying, okay, let's talk about the devil himself. And the other one, let's talk about Damien, the son, the boy. And let's almost kind of make it that they're different, almost kind of. Let's show compassion for even
because they're
the
both
son of the devil.
In both stories, they're victims.
Right.
Both stories, they're being victimized. They don't really want to do what they're doing. So they're being victimized. Lucifer is the wayward son, and he feels like he's being overly punished by dad, and he doesn't want to do what he's doing, and he just wants to be on earth and help humans, and really just wants to be human. And he just wants to be left alone. I mean, it's ridiculous. The stories are a tad ridiculous. I don't see this lasting very long, but I don't think they care. They're just trying to get a message out. Even though it's been renewed and the rating's good, I just don't see how they sustain it. Because basically all it is a cop show, a detective show with Lucifer. But Damien is very methodically, meticulously staying exactly to the Omen storyline, even using clips from the movies. Even using, and this bothers me because I'm a Rottweiler lover, that the demon dogs in the TV show are Rottweilers. But everything from the movie is in this TV show, and he's discovering who he is. It's being brought to his attention. He really doesn't want to be this way. So as I watched it on demand, It's only been three episodes on AMC. As I watched it on demand, basically what it comes down to is bringing the Omen, Damien, Antichrist storyline up to date, 2016. He really doesn't want to be, didn't know who he was, doesn't want to be that way. But he's being groomed by all these various forces within the world to take his place. And what was really, I don't want to say profound, but almost unsettling, was when the female character who's supposed to be the one grooming him and protecting him, played by Barbara Hershey, says to him, "You are ushering in the return of Christ. You're doing the church a favor. Everything you will do will bring Christ back to earth. But the church and the priest and the Vatican don't want that because it's upsetting their business and they don't want him to return." And I'm thinking, wow, that's the Pharisee thing all over again. We really don't want a Messiah to mess up what we're doing. And when she dropped that bombshell, I went, oh my goodness, they're really going, they're really going for it. They're going all out. It's and it's again the Roman Catholic Church against the devil, has no power. Everybody dies. Something gruesome like in the movie. God has no power, and it's I don't know where this is going to go. You really have to care about this guy playing Damien and how he responds to all this. I just, from a writer-actor perspective, I don't see how they're going to sustain it. But again, sympathy for the devil, sympathy for the son of the devil, and we're just rolling along here.
Now, do you take the two different? You take the show Lucifer, and then take the show the Damien. I watched a couple of episodes of Damien. I got to say, the first episode did not impress me, or at least I just couldn't get a feel for it. I wouldn't say impress me because obviously, I'm sure that there are other people out there that follow the storyline and like, wow, this is cool. I just couldn't get that feel for The Omen because if you remember taking the production of Omen and right. even Omen 2, the music, the atmosphere was really creepy, was really scary. And it just seems like they didn't capture that demonic essence, you know, with you know,
when
like
you watch The Omen, you realize I'm watching evil. We don't get that from the show.
You can just tell the music, the opera type of chanting, all that stuff. With this one, I don't see that, you know. But there are some people out there that like it. Now the show Lucifer, on the other hand, I can see how people will like it because, like you said, he's almost kind of like a good guy.
Oh, he's cool. He's funny. He's I guess you know in that world he's attractive and. The female detective who's unrealistically attractive.
Right.
And everything about him is he's a good guy. He's misunderstood. He's been mislabeled. I mean, this is the devil, you know, live. I'm not the bad guy. Really, the angels are the bad guy, and God's the bad guy. And it's so ridiculous, but our kids and our youth are being inundated with this misinformation. And then if you look all over television, whether it's the Shannara Chronicles or the Shadowhunters or all these other supernatural storylines that are going on, it's one thing after the other, and the powers of darkness have all this power, and humans sometimes can stop it, but God and Jesus are completely absent, and there is no supernatural power from the kingdom of God's side.
Now, Richard, let me ask you this question. When we talked about Easter, just to go into Easter, you know, something that we talked about, I don't know if it was last year, maybe even the year before. That goes to show how much we can lose track of time with Reflections in the Dark. We've had so many seasons now. You know,
especially when you're looping, so you don't know.
When you're constantly looping. But remember when you said about Ishtar which was kind of pronounced Easter.
Right.
I remember you saying that. Now, Easter was originally the celebration of Ishtar, the Assyrian and Babylonian goddess of fertility and sex, okay? So like the egg and the bunny, the symbols were the fertility of sex. Now, you mentioned something about Constantine. What you said after Constantine decided to, I want to say,
at the Council of Nicaea,
Christianize.
Right. Here's what happened.
Yep.
Constantine's mother had a conversion that was documented. Constantine has no documented conversion except for seeing the sun and winning a battle and worshiping the sun god and all this other stuff. And so there is no actual proof he had a conversion. But what he did was he made Christianity the state religion. The actual 501, the non-for-profit status and tax-exempt status for the church came out of Constantine. So basically what he does, he now makes Christianity the state religion, but he's got all these pagan temples. So he Christianized all the pagan gods, kept the basilicas he wanted to keep, rebuilt other ones. And so basically the Christian church was then morphed into the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church, absorbed all the pagan gods, changed their names, tweaked them a little bit. And so Easter was the representation of Passover, but from a non-Jewish perspective. See, my other problem with the fact that we are so far apart today, being celebrated as Resurrection Sunday or Easter and Passover, is we're participating in what I believe to be an anti-Semitic effort to distance the resurrection of the Jewish Messiah from the actual Jewish event.
And you know, you take the show like the movie Risen, and you see what's going on with the other shows on TV, and how you can see this battle of good and evil between God and the devil kind of hitting the screen. You know, it's making that wave around. I've been seeing flyers, and I know that there's been banners being made, but there are also flyers around here. I just seen one a few days ago that says, and I think Facebook even posted something similar to it, that said, if money is the root of all evil, why are churches taking our money? And these are small little innuendos, and they're also little things that would cause you to stop and think and say, hey, wait a minute, that is true. Or that does make sense as to why are they taking our money. Then you go back to shows that they were watching, and you can see where evil is being glorified as good, almost as good as evil, and making evil seem evil, which really evil is good. So it's almost where, like, we're switching roles. Maybe God is the sinister creator and the devil is the person that you need to feel bad for, because he became that scapegoat that everybody kind of accuses, because without him, then the churches wouldn't profit. And you can start to just link everything that's going on. And if you're not where you need to be, or at least up on scripture and what's going on, with the prophecies and in the timelines right now, you can easily be deceived to believe that, you know what, maybe religion is just a money-making scam right now, and the devil's not such a bad guy.
And that's exactly what they want you to believe. I think the best thing that would happen to the church, the real church, is for the 501c3 status to go away. And for, if people want to give, they give because they want to, not because of a tax deduction, which would shut down these monuments to the flesh and put them out of business and drive everybody either back into storefronts or back into the homes and bring back the purity of the gospel. I keep waiting for that to happen. I really thought that Obama would have pulled that one off, and I understand it's been under review and he hasn't done it yet. I think that would be the best thing to happen, because here's what has happened. My wife and I were talking about this today. The people that are getting money are the mega churches, are the personalities, are the guys that are wearing the $1,000 suits and living in the mansions, and they really don't need the money. And then you have the smaller ministries like mine and others out there who struggle to the point of, why am I doing this except for the calling? who don't get the support. What has to happen is we have to get back to the purity of why we do this. And there has to be something to shake it. But that wouldn't, you see, I think the devil wants it just the way it is. And I don't think he's going to upset that apple cart. I think when he inspired Constantine, or whoever the fallen was that inspired him, to give the tax-exempt status, which essentially put the government in control of the religious entity. As soon as that happened, and we see it happening now, churches can't preach from their pulpit against certain political things. The IRS is investigating them. There has to come a point where the world and the church separate. And the only way to do that is to disengage on a level that brings us back to the simplicity of it. And until that happens, these shows, whether it's Supernatural, where God is an absentee landlord, or Damien, or any of these other, Lucifer, they're just going to keep pounding into the heads of our youth and our young adults from generation to generation, to where, like you said, they finally go, wait a second, the bad guy's God. This is all wrong. You know, this Lucifer didn't do anything wrong. What did he do? So, and you, I've had somebody say to me, "Show me, what did he do wrong?" Well, he rebelled. Well, how did, and you know, if you don't know the word, if you don't know what you're talking about, they will back you into a corner to where they'll twist you up.
That's right, because the first thing they'll say is, where does it say that he rebelled against God? Where does he say he was casted out? Or better yet, some of the other ones we hear, where does it show that a third of the angels followed him? But I do believe
all of that's there, but it's there in places that you have to tie it all together. Exactly. You have to go, okay, this is what this says, this is what this says. And then they'll spin it on you, because when I was demon-possessed and doing the New Age and people would come to me, I would flip the scripture exactly the way it was flipped for me. Well, don't tell me these crystals are wrong. Don't tell me I shouldn't be doing this. What was on Abraham's chest? There's right. Crystals and stones all throughout throughout heaven. And you better understand Genesis 6. You better understand what happened on Mount Hermon and what the Watchers did and what they taught and how it got into mankind. You better have experiential knowledge, which gets me back to something I said in the beginning. I will say it again. I was confronted by many people who had head knowledge, and I tied them up in knots because I had more demonic knowledge than they had biblical knowledge.
Right.
You better know the word, and you better understand what's going on here. If you're going to spout generics or, well, prophecy says this, or, you know, well, you and I have talked about this. Well, how do you tie Satan to Lucifer? You say Lucifer is the devil. Where does it say that? Well, you better be able to explain the word. You better understand the Hebrew and the Greek. You better understand what the writers were saying, and even we've talked about it. There really isn't a clear depiction that Lucifer and Satan are the same person. It's cloudy.
It is cloudy. And that's why we're going to keep the light on through the clouds. But, you know, I have to agree with you. I mean, obviously, I came in the show late here. And, you know, just what we've talked about now, you can really see that battle of good and evil has, you know, is spilled over into TV. And it always has, but I don't think it's ever come to the point where it was just blatantly talking about the devil.
But, we still got a couple of minutes. I said at the beginning I was asking for people, maybe there's somebody out there that helped us raise the money so we can go out and teach stuff. One of the things I've been teaching on for a couple of years is about the sacred sites and how they tie into things, using the example of Cleopatra's Needle in Central Park and London, all this other stuff. Now, suddenly it's big news. They're building a temple to Baal in Times Square to match a temple someplace else. And all these eggheads and all these snake oil salesmen are jumping on board, and they're doing shows about it, and they're making a big deal about it. And I'm reading what they're saying, and I'm going, duh, you're a day late and a couple of dollars short. This is old information, and you really don't even understand the enemy's been doing this for 2,000 years. The enemy has demonic buildings and temples all over the world, in major cities, in Nashville, in Denver, in the airport. The devil's already done this, and you're making a big deal about one building? So the point is that if you're going to understand, then you better understand. You better really know what you're listening to and what you're reading, but it's almost like the church thing. The people that have the ears, the people that are selling the stuff, are always going to be those people. And the sheeple are always going to follow them. And there will be a remnant of people that want the truth. And that's what I believe listens to The Porch, and that's what I believe listens to the show, is a small remnant of people that want the real truth. Well, hopefully next time you can be on time, and I hope you write really, really small, I will not be late to Reflections in the Dark again.
I will not be late next week. I promise. Imagine that. I will not be late to Reflections in the Dark. Imagine having to fit that in like six of the graph, the little graph.
See, I never had that. I went to, unfortunately, I went to Catholic schools where they did that a lot. And so you're going to write, I will not do this, and you're going to write it 100 times, 200, whatever it is. And so what you would do is you'd number your lines, and then you'd do I all the way down, and then you came up with the science so that you could get in and out until they figured out what you were doing. But it was just one of those ridiculous things. Really, I'm just not going to get caught next time because I'm not going to write this anymore.
Ugh. And you know something about your thing there with I will. I don't know if we ever stopped to really think about it, but we're still writing the same amount.
Right, right.
It just made us feel better that we were cutting corners. Because I did that. I had to do that for a short period of time, too, because I was in Catholic school for a couple of years before I moved, to the Warwick area. Then I was in public school. But I do remember doing that, cutting corners and going,
corners. You're right. You're right. You just thought you were doing something, and you thought you were getting over the fact is you still wrote it.
Right. We just wrote it differently, and it just changed the changed it up. But I think even though it's a short time that I was here, I like the topic that we talked about because I think that our listeners should be a little bit educated on what's going on right now and how God and the devil is kind of stepping in front on the in TV right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if we'll see more shows coming out on the godly side of things, because I think there is some sort of chronicle thing that's coming out, or it could be already on now. That's biblical. Do you ever see the commercial? I can't think. I just blanked on it. But
I've seen some things that come close, but they never really tell the truth.
Because
Let's face it, it's not real dramatic when you have this Canaanite god or this massive entity, and somebody like SRT comes in and kicks their butt, and it's over in an hour. You can't make a season out of that.
No.
So if you're going to do it really biblically, according to the power that's been given to us, it's not very dramatic. And they want to make it dramatic and draw it out, so they cut corners and they water it down, and it just is what it is. But the fact is, Hollywood is never going to tell the truth. That's just not who they are. And, let's close in on this thought. I think we're being set up for the appearance of the Antichrist. I believe we're being set up for the appearance of the fallen. I believe we're being set up for the appearance of demonic entities, the return of the gods, as well as sooner or later, we're going to know who the Antichrist is. And when that happens, folks, we are in overdrive. So glad you could make it. Glad you could show up. We will be back next week on time. And we'll find some other way to rattle some cages and get you thinking. It's dark out there, folks. I mean, it's really dark out there, but we're going to leave the light on. We're going to shine that light every now and then. We're going to go into that darkness and into those shadows, and we're going to expose it for it. I'm Richard Grund on behalf of J. Joe Citrone. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.